All right. And across from me is Amanda Price this morning. Good morning, Amanda.
Morning, Duke. How are you today?
Good, good. And she's going to tell us about some of the things going on in the House.
Yeah. Well, first of all, happy 4th of July week.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Speaking of 4th of July, the fireworks is an issue.
Fireworks is an issue. As you all know, we enacted different legislation last year allowing for consumer fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a means to make up more competition in the state of Michigan because we sometimes lose business to Indiana and fireworks area. Well, it had an unintended consequence, namely that fireworks are being shot off at all hours of
yes.
the day and night. And so they took a look at it again and put some boundaries around that would allow local units of government to regulate when the fireworks could be let off. And so the bills allow for the day before, the day of, and the day after a holiday.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're in a city more than 750,000, which would, I think, pertain only to Detroit, you can stop those fireworks from 12 midnight to 8 a.m. And if everybody else basically is from 1 a.m. to 8 a.m. So,
okay.
And then they cleaned up a little bit about how the funding for those fees go. They go to fireworks or firefighter safety. So that was a big improvement, I think. And it's not... So each unit of government will now have to adopt regulation because we allowed it at the state level. But
I think Holland did it, gave it immediate effect.
Yeah, and I've noticed some other folks have done it. Some other places may not have had their meetings as of yet. So
right. We have a caller on the line here. Good morning. You're online with our guest.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
This is like the talk of the town, right?
Yes, we have a guest right now. We have Amanda Price with us.
Okay. Yeah, I can put like an, to sell something, right?
If you want to sell something, it should be on the trading post at 11:30.
Okay, do I call this number too? Or?
Same number. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Okay. Well, I guess that wasn't for you.
No, but
all right.
I noticed last night, or actually over the whole weekend, we had a lot of fireworks going off around our house.
In
the
yeah.
middle of the night, the dog jumped up on the bed and was terrified. So
it's very difficult to enforce.
It is. It is. And I think probably, you know, it's going to be one of those situations where somebody's bought a large cache of fireworks and is continuing to light them off, you know, for
right.
hours. And it's not, you know, not the four or five little fireworks that a family might light off. So it will be hard to enforce, but at least it has...
It was the kind that I used to shoot off. Loud.
I understand.
You understand, huh?
Yep.
Okay. All right. Interesting fact here about Michigan's first in the nation for new manufacturing jobs.
Yeah, it's in the, by named by the National Association of Manufacturers. So that's a great comeback for the state of Michigan that we're first in job creation and manufacturing.
That means more people paying taxes.
More people paying taxes, more jobs being created, and then, you know, it just has a ripple effect and I don't like to use the analogy of a spider web, but it is a similar thing. You start
yeah.
in the middle and there's fingers to it that go out all throughout the rest of the
yeah.
state, so it's
and
great.
That one has a good effect, usually.
It does, mm-hmm. yeah.
All right, you'll have some in-district work sessions during this, what, semi-vacation?
Well, I wish I could call it a semi-vacation. When we're not in session, we often refer to the out-of-session time as in-district work period.
Yeah.
It's a little confusing there with that language, but... So this summer, I will be participating in a number of work groups. We have one on the Common Core standards. So people might remember that the budget had a little bit of a hiccup getting passed because people were concerned about Common Core standards put in place for K-12 schools. And the Common Core standards were developed by the National Governors Association in connection with a business group, because what the governors were finding is that if they had an employee... For instance, in the state of Michigan, who went to maybe Alabama, their educational rigor was not similar.
Right.
So they wanted to have nationwide standards so that if you went to high school in Michigan, you had the same standards and you were going to be able to be hired similarly mm-hmm. in Alabama. That's been a process being put in place. The State Board of Education adopted those standards a few years ago. Many, many of our school districts have already started implementing them. The legislature wanted to take a more detailed look at them because there are some concerns that this may forego some local control. So there's a work group being pulled together this summer. We will take a good hard look at it. And from what I'm understanding from our local superintendents and the ISD's folks is that at least in Ottawa County and in the area, we have really good educational standards already in place, may have already exceeded the Common Core standards, but it's a kind of a step back for us to take a look at it, make sure we are understanding what they are. It does lead to a different kind of testing, a smarter balance test, so that'll be part of the discussion as well.
This isn't a dumbing down process, is it?
No, no. Actually, I think I read by one organization that it will actually increase 38 states' standards in terms of their educational rigor. So Michigan, because we had high standards already in place, may have already attained them and in a lot of our school districts, and so we will be good to go. But I'm hearing, too, there's some rumblings about maybe the science standard could be a little bit more rigorous, and so we'll just take a good hard look at it and report back to the legislature.
How will it affect the teachers? Will they be able to cope with it all right?
I believe so. There's a lot of curriculum developed already. I've talked to several teachers who are already implementing it. What they say to me is the previous curriculum, the previous standards were a mile wide and an inch deep.
Mm.
This will allow teachers and students to go more in depth on certain areas of the curriculum. So, I'm confusing it. Common Core is a set of standards and not a curriculum. So, it will allow them to go much more in depth in certain areas. So,
mm-hmm. All right. Well, I'm sure you'll keep an eye on it to make sure.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
Comes out good.
I've sat through a couple of seminars put on by Michigan State and had a good explanation of what they are. And what's really nice about them, too, is they compare the Common Core standards with other countries internationally. And so they want to make sure our standards line up to international standards. And I think they do quite well. And that's really important in this kind of workplace and competitive nature that the United States faces right now.
Recently passed legislation, Amanda?
Legislation that recently passed about 2 weeks ago now. So there was the legislation we passed on the Medicaid expansion. That's something I voted for. When I took a look at the numbers and the reforms in that legislation, I could support it. I am not, I don't, first of all, like Obamacare. I wish it never had been put in place.
Yeah.
Facing that reality, though, I think we have to do the best we can for the citizens. And the bill that passed the legislature has many, many reforms in it for Medicaid recipients. It does have two provisions, though, that people need to understand, and they're called waivers. So if we want to enact all these reforms, there's two waivers that we have to acquire. One I call the big waiver, which would say to the federal government that we will have Medicaid apply to this population of folks if we can make them more personally responsible for their health care, contribute to the cost, the higher co-pays. And then the second waiver, which is the 48-month waiver, it asks that folks, able-bodied adults who are in this income category, which is about $15,000 to $21,000 a year, they would only have Medicaid for 48 months. At the end of the 48th month, they could go on to the federal exchange, which is Obamacare,
mm-hmm.
or they could stay on the Medicaid coverage. However, their costs of doing so would increase about 50%. So we would need to obtain the big waiver before we could even start And we'd have to obtain the 48-month waiver prior to the end of the 48, if we got the big waiver and implemented the Medicaid expansion, we would have to get that 48-month waiver before mm-hmm. the end of the 4 years. So so that's one piece of legislation.
And that has to pass the Senate yet.
Right. And the Senate has is taking some time to look at it through a work group that was just appointed last week.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're going to meet either this week or starting next week.
Okay.
Another set of legislation we passed was indigent defense. So this is something that was started by Representative Justin Amash when he was in the Michigan House. He looked at the inconsistency of how criminals were defended across the state and saw a glaring injustice across the state. Several counties did not do it well. Several did. Like Ottawa County does it quite well. There was no set of standards statewide, and so this legislation has been introduced, I think this would be the third time, and came to a consensus that we need a set of standards, that the attorneys doing the criminal defense work have to be evaluated in an objective manner, and there has to be a good level of spending on this, because, you know, It is part of the constitutional requirement for us to have defense for
right.
those who are arrested. So that set of legislation was passed. It made several reforms, but did put those standards in place. And we'll create a commission to look at it statewide. I have no doubt Ottawa County will come out with flying colors because of how well they've implemented their system already. So.
Mm-hmm.
Another bill that was passed in the final weeks was a low-income energy assistance bill. This is something Michigan has done in a previous version called the Low-Income Energy Efficiency Fund, and it allowed folks who were in the lower levels of income to avoid shutoff and get some assistance with their energy bills. And why this is important is because if folks are not paying their bills, their energy heat and electricity gets cut off, and then they have to go through the whole process of getting it turned back on. That incurs more cost, and then the utility companies ultimately have these uncollectible amounts that then they go to the Public Service Commission and ask for reimbursement because they can't operate with
right.
large. So these funds were set aside to do some assistance, and they will apply statewide, even to municipal utilities similar to Holland BPW, but the municipal utilities can opt out of doing that, because several times across the state municipal utilities already have something in place like this.
Mm-hmm.
So and then finally another large, maybe controversial topic was the dissolution of schools. We have two school districts, Buena Vista and Inkster, that are very near
yeah.
insolvency, and we needed to move forward to allow those
schools. Something's got to be done.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So those were, in the last week and a half, those were the big pieces of legislation that passed through the House.
We're here with Representative Amanda Price, and if you have a question for Amanda, you may call us. 395-1450 is the number. Oh, let's talk about some of the recent court decisions. How
yeah,
they affect us?
Yeah, well, I won't talk about the Supreme Court, U.S. Supreme Court decisions,
yeah.
but because we've heard a lot of those, and I'm not sure the impact on Michigan, although I don't think that has a large impact on Michigan. Three cases recently. The ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union, sued for the Highland Park schools, saying that the students at those schools had not been provided adequate education. And so that was interesting. I'm interested to find out how that's going to...
How do you prove that?
Yeah. Well, so the judge did say that it could proceed to trial. It failed in one part of the suit, but it did say it could proceed to trial. And they want to look at the methods of instruction and the quality of the educators and administrators. So that's going to be really interesting because Highland Park was one of those school districts losing students, but very highly compensated. I'm $14,000, $15,000 a student,
mm-hmm.
and still not getting the education that the kids needed. And so we'll see about that one.
Yeah.
Then there was a federal judge ruling last Friday, I believe, on Michigan banning same-sex benefits to, employees of school districts, the state, and local governments. And so this was a bill that Representative Ajima had introduced, House Bill 4770, last term. It went into effect, and it would limit those benefits to folks who are in a traditional marriage. At the time, I think we estimated there were 138 employees on the state health plan that had some sort of same-sex benefit,
mm-hmm.
but it was projected that there would be probably 32,000 employees that it could affect. So primarily done on the basis of how much money could be saved. The judge in this case didn't like that. Didn't like the legislation, found that there are a couple things that he dismissed a due process claim, but he found that there is some merit under equal protection, and he put in an injunction from that legislation moving forward. So
mm-hmm.
that'll keep going forward.
That could be very costly.
Yeah. And then the final piece of legislation or a court ruling was a Seventh Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals ruling having to do with energy. And that was, I think I've talked to you about it before, how the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission put forth an order that said all the states in this Midwest area had to contribute money for the construction of transmission lines, even though, and for because renewable energy was going to be put out in North and South Dakota. Wind farms were going to be put out there, but we needed to put in transmission lines and upgrade transmission lines out in those states to help benefit Michigan.
Right.
And several states went into a lawsuit on that. The court found that, no, you still have to contribute to those costs. And
mm-hmm.
so that's very disappointing. One side note of that was that the judge kind of in a little side reference said that perhaps Michigan's renewable portfolio legislation that Senator Buchholz put in place may not be constitutional because it inhibited interstate commerce. We asked for all renewable energy to be created in Michigan, and that may interfere with interstate commerce. So we're probably going to have to take a look at that.
That could cost another several million.
Oh, billions.
Billion.
Yep. That's what Michigan, I think, was on the hook for about 20% of that cost of those upgraded transmission lines. So it's billions of dollars.
Funny how they can always think about ways to spend money, huh?
And I had a resolution of opposing that because we had our own in-state renewable portfolio mechanism. I didn't think we needed to pay for other people to put up wind out in North Dakota.
We're all one big happy family, I guess. That's the way they figure.
Right. And energy knows no on and off switch.
True. All right. Interesting, though, that I don't know what the outcome will be, but probably won't be good for Michigan.
No. We'll have higher energy costs.
That's what the president promised us. We'd have skyrocketing costs. That was the way he put it, I believe. So,
yeah. He's
probably right.
I agree. we're getting there very quickly.
Which only hurts everybody.
Yeah, and it makes it's a big, one of the larger factors in businesses trying to decide whether they're going to come here, our energy costs right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what's next on the agenda here?
Well, you know, we will continue to have those summer work group meetings. So
yeah.
In addition to the Common Core, I'm on another work group called the Economic Incentive Vitality Program, which sounds kind of odd name, but it really looks at the monies that the state sends to the local governments. There's a pot of money called constitutional revenue sharing that every unit of government gets from the state, and then there's statutory revenue sharing that the state can give. Recently, the governor has decided to move it into this economic vitality program and give it to units of government based on whether or not they're looking at consolidation of services or governments. And so we're going to take a good hard look of that. At that,
mm-hmm.
A large portion of that money, about 58% of it, is going to the city of Detroit. And we're all saying, oh, what are we out here?
Yeah.
We need some of that money, too.
What are we, chopped liver?
Yeah. In my local government committee, we're going to take a good look at the number of notices that local units have to file and publish in papers, see if they're all still needed. We came across one, for instance, is called the Notice of Distrained Beasts. I don't know what that does, but you have to file a notice if you have a distrained beast. And then we have another work group looking at consolidation of governments and trying to make that not as difficult as it currently is. So you know, you're from the Saugatuck area, how difficult that process has been for the city and the city of Douglas. So
very difficult.
So we're trying to make it a little bit less cumbersome and time-consuming, but people like where they live and they don't want to...
It was easier many years ago when you just say, yeah, I guess you can do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know of it up in the city of Ferrisburg. I think that was... You know, when they decided to form the city, it was a very quick decision. And
yeah.
So it's much easier to form than it is to dissolve.
Yeah, it is. It is. And then pretty soon you come, you're bumping heads with the state and then the national government. And
you know, there's a lot of liabilities with any unit of government, and you have to make sure that all resolves itself.
How does it look like the new appointee in Detroit is doing with the new management?
I think he's, you know, I have not met him, so I can't give you a firsthand account, but I think he's making some good decisions, hard decisions.
Very hard.
I just read over the weekend that he decided to turn over their electric service to the DTE Energy.
Mm-hmm.
They're running a $150 million annual deficit for the last 5 years in that area alone. And usually municipal utilities are a bonus to a local unit of government. And in this case, it's not that. So hard decisions. I think he's talking about doing away with some of the contracts in place.
Mm-hmm.
Those things had to be done because the city was in that magnitude of... disarray.
It looks like we're about out of time. Certainly want to thank you, Amanda, for coming in this morning and explaining some of these things to us that are going on in Lansing.
And, you're welcome.
We will be seeing you next month.
Happy 4th of July.